Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this, watch this. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Another way you could say that is follow me as I follow Christ. It's an amazing statement, but it really got me thinking this week. What does it mean to follow Christ? There's a lot of people, if you talk to them, they're like, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, but what does that mean? What does that look like? Does that mean like I'm a perfect person? Does it mean that I always make the right decision? Does it mean that there is never sin in my life? Certainly not. Paul is not implying immediate perfection. When he says, I follow Christ, he's not saying my life is right now at this moment perfect. What he is saying is there has been a change in direction. I am headed somewhere new. Paul knew that there was a goal. He knew that there was a target. There was something he was moving towards. And he is very honest to say, I'm not there yet, but I'm going. In other words, what it means to follow Christ is that he's taking you somewhere, that you are not yet there, but if you'll keep on moving, you'll get there. Are you following me? Watch what Paul says in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained this. I haven't taken hold of what I'm going after yet. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. Somebody say press on. But I press on to make it my own. So even though I don't have it yet, my aim is to keep on pressing until I take it. I believe Christ has something for me that I have not fully received yet, but I am in the process of getting there. That's to me what it means to follow Christ. I have entered the process. I am no longer headed in the direction I used to be going in. I have turned around, and day by day, I am working with God, and God is working in me to get me there. I'm not working by myself. I'm filled with the Spirit, and he's moving me in a new direction, but I am pressing into that so that I can make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He says, I don't consider that I've already made it my own. But one thing I do, this thing I am intentional about, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, pushing forward to what lies ahead. There's something there that I am in the process of going after. I am moving in the new thing that Jesus has already done towards the new thing that he wants to do. There's been a shift. There's been a change in me. And it's noticeable. Again, it's not that I've already arrived, but there's a noticeable change that I am now pressing in towards the things of God, going in a new direction. And part of that process is this. Watch this. Part of that process means I am letting go of things that are behind. Former ways of thinking, former ways of talking, former ways of living. I'm learning to let those things go so that I can come into the new thing he wants to do. It's impossible for me to fully experience what Christ has made available and still hold on to what lies behind. I can't say I am fully following Christ and drag my past with me. It's going to weigh me down. It's going to wear me down. Eventually, it's going to wear me out. Have you ever traveled at the airport? By a show of hands, how many of you ever traveled at the airport? God bless you. When I fly, I like to be as hands-free as possible. What that means is when I get there, I want to check my luggage and walk through the airport with my hands free. You know, that way I'm available to grab a snack if I want to. I could do all kinds of things, got all kinds of liberties. Not my wife. Ashley wants to bring as much stuff as possible, which is the most stuff. She doesn't just have her rolling bag. She has like TJ Maxx bags, like filled to overflowing. It is a process to get through the airport with her, and I don't understand it because there are these people right there at the front doors that are set up there to take your baggage. All you've got to do is check it in, let it go, and move forward. Check it in, let it go, and move forward. The same is true in Christ. There are things that he is there saying, bring it to me, check it in, but then let it go, and let's move forward. Come to the cross, check it, and then learn how to live through the cross. See, there's a lot of people, they come to the cross with their pain, their burdens, their brokenness, their sin, but they never learn how to live through it because they don't truly understand what Christ has done. So they think, I've still got to carry some of this stuff. But you don't. You can check it, let it go, and you can move forward. Because if you don't, again, you're never going to experience what Christ has truly made available. You'll never experience true peace while rolling your baggage. You'll never experience true joy pulling your baggage. Your marriage and your relationships will never be what God says they can be if you keep on pulling your baggage. There are some things you need to check. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's some things you need to check. The first thing that we need to check is this. We need to check our unchecked sin. Now, when I talk about unchecked sin, I'm talking about a pattern or a lifestyle that we have attached ourselves to that is slowing us down. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not saying, hey, I never sinned because now I'm in Christ. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying I choose to walk away from, with the power of the Holy Spirit, any pattern or lifestyle or behavior that is weighing me down. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that these are the people who have gone before us in the faith. He says, let us also lay aside, somebody say lay aside. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. In other words, there's a race, there's a journey, there's a target in mind, but you're going to weigh yourself down if you carry the wrong stuff. And he's wanting us to see that there's some weight and there's some sin that we're carrying that is burdening us. And if you'll just let it go, you can truly live in the freedom that Christ has made available. John 8. Bring that verse up for me. John 8, 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Absolutely free. Immediately free. If Christ has set you free, you are free right now indeed. So why carry the things that he has set you free from? Does that make sense? He doesn't offer halfway freedom. He doesn't offer like this partial freedom. Everything that you need in Christ is there immediately when you step into Christ. It's like growing up, my family, never did halfway meals. When we got together, it was all the food. Every Sunday lunch we had as a family was like Thanksgiving Day. All the meat, all the side items, multiple kinds of breads, the casseroles. Listen, to me, a casserole is a side dish, not a main event. That's how I was raised. And they would prepare it, they would spread it out, and all I had to do is sit down and eat what they have done for me. I never got fat by walking around the table and looking at it. I never got fat by having a weekly meeting where we got together and discussed all the food. Hey guys, let's sit around the table. Let's look at the recipe book and see what Aunt did. And talking about it and break down the recipe. I never got free or fat from that. I got fat because I sat down and ate what was available. The reason some of us continue to live in bondage, even though the Bible says Christ has set us free, is because we talk about freedom, we talk about the things that Jesus has done, we walk around and look at it, we open the Bible, we talk about it, we have Bible studies, but we never truly sit down and begin to eat what he has done. We never truly sit down and say, I am going to take what he has made available. If he has freed me from sin, then I will live free from that pattern of sin. It doesn't have power over me because his spirit that is inside of me. Watch this, Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, I didn't do real well in school, especially with the English language. How many of you were like really good at grammar in school? Because we're going to need your help. Raise your hand. Good. We got more in the second service than we did in the first service. When it says Christ has set us free, that has implies past tense. Am I right? That means it's already done. Christ has set us free. The way we read it is one day Christ will set us free. But in the meantime, I've got to live with all this. No. Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. Then it says, do what? Stand firm. Stand firm in what? The freedom he has made available. The blessing of the grace and the mercy. Stand in it. Take hold of it. Take ownership of it. Listen, nobody has a right to take anything away from you that God has given. Did you know that? Too many times, the devil's been after me, brother. He's taking my peace. He's taking my joy. Biblically, he does not have the power, the right, nor the authority to take any of that from you. He can only take what you allow him to have. See, sometimes we are giving him access and room into our life because of the weight and the sin that we have not laid aside. Christ has set me free, but I continue to carry the things that open the door for him to work in my life. The Bible says, give no opportunity to the devil. Do you know why? He'll take it. If you open a door, he will step in and start working. How do we open that door? By not standing in the freedom we have. When I choose to live a lifestyle of sin, I am opening a door for him to creep in. But see, it's not just sin. It's also the weight. Can you pull up Hebrews 12:1 for me again? I want us to look at that. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. So there are some things that are weights that aren't necessarily sin. But if I carry that weight, it wears me down and opens up an opportunity for him to move in my life and move me towards sin. Sometimes the weight that we have in our life is just poor focus. I have found myself like scrolling social media. I know you guys don't do that. But I'll be going through social media and I'll come across content that frustrates me, makes me mad. I start getting angry. I start running my day based upon what I've seen. And then I realize all I got to do is stop the scroll. This is stealing my peace. This is taking my joy. And I have made room for it to happen. Does that make sense? The things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we do are all creating space for the enemy to come in and work. And the Bible wants us to see that if you want to experience freedom, you have to walk away. You have to let it go. The freedom is there. It is available. When Jesus died on the cross, he stretched out his hands and hung his head and said this, it is what? Finished. There's nothing more for him to accomplish in your life. It says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm in that freedom. And then do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That implies that before you came into Christ, you were enslaved to something. You had no power over certain things before you came into Christ. You had no power over sin. You had no power to control the impulses. You had no power over all of those weights. And Paul is saying, he set you free, stand firm in it, and don't submit yourself back to it. What does that mean? Don't keep on going back to that pattern and that lifestyle of that thing that is dragging you down, because it is bondage. Baggage is bondage. It's a bondage that will try to rule you. And you need to understand that Christ has given you the ability through his Spirit to rule over it. Watch this in Romans 6, verse 6. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free. What that means is it no longer controls you. The thought may come, but you have the power through the Spirit to overcome it. There was a time in your life where you did not have that power, you did not have that ability, you were chained to this thing. But Christ has set you free. He has severed the cord. But now you've got to let go and walk away. That's what he's wanting us to see. So when we talk about this freedom that comes from Christ, the baggage that we carry, the first thing that we need to check is our sin. Turn to the person next to you and say, check the sin. Here's the next one. Check the pain. There's no reason to carry unchecked pain in your life. This is the one that we get really uncomfortable with, because we all have some form of hurt. We all have some form of pain. There's some form of trauma. There's something that has happened in our life. And we need to understand that if we try to carry that, it's going to create bondage in our life. A few weeks ago, I was at the lake and I was walking down a boat ramp and I slipped and I fell and I twisted my ankle pretty bad. But the other thing that I did was the inside of my foot got completely shredded. I mean, I tore that thing wide open. I still carry the scars from it. I can still look at my foot and remember the moment. I had to shut down my OnlyFans foot account because of, it's terrible. I'm kidding, by the way. But I really hurt myself. And right after it happened, I got up through the pain. It still hurt. I mean, this was like I was starting to black out, see stars kind of pain. I jumped in my truck, and the first thing I did was I put water on it. I started removing the gravel from it, which was painful. Then I put some ointment on it. When I got home, I cleaned it again. I put ointment on it. I bandaged it. When I woke up in the morning, I cleaned it, I put ointment on it, I bandaged it. This is a process that I went through over and over again until it healed up. Why did I submit myself to that process? Because if it gets infected, it's going to cause further damage. The same is true with the pain in our life. If it is not dealt with in a healthy way, it's going to cause further damage. I want to show this to you in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 15. The writer says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God." That means don't miss out on the blessing and the freedom offered by Christ. "That no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it many become defiled." See, the untreated hurt or pain becomes a root that will eventually grow something. That's why some of you never have any peace. Some of you never have any joy. Some of you struggle in relationship and marriage because of something that happened to you a long time ago that you continue to carry instead of finding healing for it. And that healing is a process. My foot wasn't immediately better after the first Band-Aid. It was something I had to be aware of. I had to be conscious of. It's something I had to work towards. And the same is true with our inner pain. It is something that we have to work towards. But when I see that thing start to fester, I have to address it. I'm not going there. I'm not allowing this to produce this kind of emotion. I'm not allowing this to produce this kind of action or response, because I believe that Christ has set me free, and I believe that part of that freedom is healing in my heart. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. God does not ignore the pain. God does not ignore the wound. He invites you to bring it to him so that he can heal it. You can't ignore it. Sometimes we try to suppress things. We try to get it really, really deep down. The problem is, if that seed is there, no matter how far you push it down, if the seed remains, the seed will get a root. It'll sprout. And eventually, you'll see the fruit. That doesn't just affect you, but it affects the people around you. So what do I have to do? I have to get real. God, I know this is a process. I know that this is what has happened. I know that this is what I've been through, but I believe that you set me free from it, so I bring it to you. And I trust that even though this is a part of my story, it's not going to determine my story. Because I believe that even the painful moments in my life, God can redeem. He can use the things that the enemy meant to harm me and to destroy me, and take them and use them to propel me further into who he's calling me to be. That's why it says in the Bible, it says he's working all things together for your good. But I have to trust that he is doing that for me and not allow my life to be shaped by my trauma. My life has to be shaped by his spirit and what he's wanting to do. And I'm willing to submit myself to him and say, I'm letting it go. The anger, the unforgiveness, I'm letting it go because it's only bringing me into further bondage. Listen to these two quotes I came across this week. It says, "Unforgiveness is a burden you carry for someone else's sin." Think about that. Unforgiveness is a burden that you carry for someone else's sin. So not only is it dumb to carry your own baggage to the airport when you can check it, but it'd be really dumb to walk up to strangers and grab their baggage and pull it for them. I love that. Unforgiveness is a burden you carry for someone else's sin. Watch this one. Bitterness hurts the heart of the one who holds it, not the one who caused it. The people that hurt you are not affected by your bitterness. You are. Do we really believe that Christ has set us free? Do we really believe that he's made us a new creation? Do we really believe that we should be headed in a new direction? If we do, we've got to let some of these things go. I cannot continue to live in a pattern of sin. I cannot continue to live in a pattern of brokenness for my pain. How about this? What about our unchecked pride? Well, Pastor, I don't have any pride in my life. I feel like I'm a pretty humble person. When I talk about pride, I'm talking about your self-sufficiency to think that I don't need anyone else's help. I don't need God's help. I'll do this on my own. I'll fix myself. I don't want others to see the brokenness in me. I'll bury it and put a smile on my face. I'll act like I have it all together. The problem is pride will block the blessing. Pride will block your freedom. In the book of 2 Kings, there's a story of a man named Naaman. Maybe 1 Kings. It's one of the kings. There's a man named Naaman who is eaten up with leprosy. It's a flesh-eating disease. And somebody tells him about this prophet named Elijah that does miracles. And they tell Naaman, you should go see Elijah because he has the ability through the power of God to bring healing to your body. So Naaman goes to see Elijah. And when he gets there, Elijah does not come out of the house. He sends his servant. And this ticks Naaman off because Naaman is an important person. Naaman is a powerful person. Who does this guy think that he is that he won't get off the couch and come see me? The servant tells Naaman, I tell you what, Elijah said, go down to the river and dip yourself seven times. And Naaman gets mad at this. Why would I go down to the filthy river and dip myself in it? Couldn't he just come out here and wave his hand, do a magic trick, and make me better? And the Bible says he leaves mad. Think about this. The opportunity for healing was there, but he walked away from the blessing because of his pride. The servant catches up to him and says, man, what are you doing? Why don't you just go dip in the river? So Naaman does. He finally humbles himself enough to go get in the river. He dips seven times. And on the seventh time when he comes up, his flesh is completely restored. He almost walked away from that because of his pride. Sometimes we walk away from what God can do in our life because of our pride. I don't want someone to see me go to the altar. I don't want somebody to see me raise my hand and say, I need help. I don't want to be open to discuss what I'm going through in a small group because I don't want people to know. What is that? It's pride. I don't want to go see a doctor for help. Let's get practical now. I don't want to go to therapy. I don't want to get involved in a recovery group. Why? Because of pride. And that kind of pride will block your blessing. I've got to humble myself enough to say, I cannot do this on my own. I know it's going to take God's help, But I also know that God will work through people to help me. I know it's important for me to be a part of a church family where I can grow with them. I know it's important for me and my spouse to go get the help that we need, to get the tools and the resources that we need so that we can truly live out this life that God says is available. There's freedom. I'm going to step into it. I'm not going to ignore it. Watch what the Bible says right here. This is so powerful. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, pride isn't just an attitude. Pride is bondage. But humility brings freedom. When I can come to Christ and say, I don't have what it takes. I can't fix this. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the resources. Here's another one. Maybe I'm the problem. See, sometimes we want to blame everybody else for the circumstance without ever looking in the mirror and going, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe the way they are responding to me is just a reaction to the way I am all the time. And I've got to humble myself and say, God, whatever it is, search me, know me, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit. If there's anything broken in me, I surrender it to you because I know I can't fix it. I'm not going to justify my pattern of sin and just keep on living in it. I'm not going to continue carrying my pain as if it didn't affect me because it did. And I'm not going to carry pride anymore thinking that I'll be the one that fixes it, because I can't. There's nothing that God has for you that you can obtain on your own. When I talk about this stuff, I'm not talking about behavior modification. I'm talking about getting to the point to where I say, God, transform my heart. I've turned, and now I'm going to press, and I'm going to follow, believing that the thing you started in me, you will bring to completion. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.